Sunday the 3rd of June 2018, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Belonging. Sermon title, Belonging to God's Plan for Us. Bible reading, Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 to 14. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
The Bible reading this morning is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 10 to 14. This is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A beautiful picture of being brought back. Let's just pray. Lord Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, as we come to scripture, the Bible, I pray that you would make it a living thing in us. I pray that we would see your love through its pages and its words, your love of us. Amen. Well, there's a guy been out with his mate all night. They've been out on the town. They go back to his flat, and his mate's never been to his flat, so he's showing him around the flat. And they go into the lounge and the kitchen, and here we are, and he says, and this is my bedroom, he said. They go into the bedroom, and there's one of those big gongs hanging in the bedroom. Oh, says the friend, what on earth is that? Oh, he says, that's my talking clock. He says, talking clock? He says, yeah, watch this. And he goes over, he picks up the hammer, and he really bashes it hard. And a voice from the other side of the wall says, oi, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Life, I wonder what you make of life, this life that we live. I wonder, why don't Christians win the lottery every week? Why did Man City win the Premiership when I was praying for Tottenham? How old are you going to get? How does life work? What do you think about life? Or what do you think about how this life works? Well, popular culture comes up with some answers of its own, and the first amazes me, really. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. I did a lecture to some social workers and nurses some time back now, and I spoke of good and evil, the forces of good and evil that are at work in the world. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. They think that you and I are on a fixed track in life. Fate, whatever you want to call it. Everything is predestined. Surely the Bible speaks of being predestined. Life is prefixed somewhere in the heavens, and we simply journey along it, the path that's been set out for us. If it's going to happen to us, it's going to happen to us. And what's worse, we're unable to alter it. We're either victims or winners. People are usually one or the other, aren't they? Bound in this history, these train tracks of time that are already set out for us. And it's not a bad thought. Up to a point, sometimes it's a very attractive thought. It takes away our responsibility, doesn't it? If we can't make any changes, if we're on a fixed path, doesn't matter what you say, does it? Doesn't matter what you do in life. I think that robs us of our significance, though. Makes life meaningless for us if we can contribute nothing. If we have nothing to say about our own lives or the lives of those around us that we love, if everything is controlled for us cosmically out there somewhere, it makes life meaningless. But actually, of course, I don't believe that life is like that. I've known people who are on the way up in life make certain choices and it brought them back down to earth with a bang. I've known other people seemingly destined for the scrap heap and yet they've made certain choices and now they're flourishing. They're doing work really well in life. Think of our childhood. The way to maturity is by learning from our mistakes, isn't it? That's what the Alcoholics Anonymous organization is all about. Turning lives around by offering different choices. And the Bible backs that up. God's word is all about helping us, teaching us to make those better choices, to live a different life. How can Jesus talk to Nicodemus about having new life if life is already mapped out? Can't be, can it? There would be no need for the word transformation in the Christian dictionary because we wouldn't be able to be transformed. And yet God says very definitely that you and I can be transformed into new life. Michael Lloyd, who's a theologian down in the HTB stable, points out that the word used to describe the action of the Holy Spirit is fellowship. Fellowship, not coercion or manipulation or control, but fellowship. Working together at life. I believe that we do have choices and that those choices do matter. We're not pawns on a cosmic board game. We're living, thinking people, and irrespective of what the world throws at us, we can choose how to react to it. Okay, so if it's not fate, what about luck? That's another deeply held thought, the luck of the draw. Some are blessed and some simply not. Walk under a ladder, you may win the lottery. Four-leaf clovers, black cats walking around the place. And here's a surprise for you, maybe. I do believe in a little bit of luck. I have to tell you that. If I did the lottery, and I don't, but if I did the lottery, I would have an equal chance with the rest of the people who do the lottery as to whether I win it or not. That is the luck of the draw. And I think that that goes out throughout life. I've got the same chance as everyone else has of catching a cold. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I'm in a cotton bud world that's protected. I'm out in a fallen world. I'm in the same world that you're in and that the people over in Tesco's are in. Having a tree branch fall on my head, finding a £20 note floating in the air could happen. I found a fiver yesterday in Lakeside, bent down, picked it up. No sooner had I got it in my hand than it had gone. Guy come out, oh, he said, that's mine. Finally, I thought, that's quicker than Mrs. Cork could have done it. It's amazing. In the beginning, God created the world and he saw that it was good. But turn the page. Turn the page. And we read about perfection being smashed like a glass vase into 1,000 pieces. Shards of the created order splintered everywhere. And we don't know how they're going to land or where they're going to land. And so our genetic makeup is a lottery. If cancer is hereditary, I'll probably get cancer. But who knows? Who knows? The shards of glass have scattered in every which way and nothing is set in stone anymore. And the Bible tells us that. It's no big secret. And so in the Bible there are lepers and blind people, kings and paupers, the haves and the have-nots. Some are lucky, some are not lucky. But the picture is of a broken world. Like a giant jigsaw with pieces scattered across the lounge floor. Higgledy-piggledy. No rhyme nor reason, just luck. Just luck. But again, I don't believe that the story ends there. Because in the Bible, doesn't Jesus heal the sick? Scripture is full of telling us that actually God is at work in the world. The AA can tell of miraculous stories of people turned from addiction. Marriage guidance people can tell of wonderful stories of marriages that were on the rocks that are now back. Loving, creative marriages again. Both life and scripture tell us of a God who is sat on the lounge floor, putting the jigsaw back together. Day by day, it's not easy. It's a long and delicate job because it's not as simple as a one-dimensional puzzle. Life is complicated. You and I are complicated. Our minds are complicated things. And it will get finished, not in your lifetime or my lifetime, maybe, in terms of the whole of creation. We're told that the whole of creation is going to get put back together when Jesus comes again. But when he comes again, that will be the laying of the final piece of the jigsaw. No pun intended, but get the picture. God is the ultimate jigsawer, ever patient, ever steady, recreating now what he once created many moons ago. And there's an old hymn we sing, God is working his purposes out as year succeeds to year, putting it back together, realigning your life and my life. Until his purposes for us, his good and perfect will is what Paul calls them, until his purposes for us, for you, for me, are worked out. And that's a wonderful thing. There's that reading in the book of Revelation about the new city, isn't there? The new Jerusalem. The world being put back as it should be. And John writes a list that every now and again, when you and I are in a really hard and difficult place, we have to cling to. You will remember it. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things is going to be put back together as it should be in perfection. Alleluia and amen. So whilst there's brokenness, there's always that element of luck in life, but bit by bit I believe that the luck is being taken out and the world is being put back together. I've seen that in my own life. I would not be stood here today without the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'd be sat in a prison somewhere doing something completely different. And here's a thought. Our actions can delay God in that process, or they can help him in it. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? Awesome thought. Our choices, yours and mine, how we behave, what we do, what we say, can actually help God to put the world back together. I think this morning there's some pilot whale somewhere or another has died because it's had 20 plastic bags it's eaten. And we can do something about that. We've got choices that we can make. But here's the truth, whatever we choose, whether we choose to walk with God or walk away from God, we can never stop God from completing the jigsaw. We can never stop him from completing. Neither can the devil. God is victorious. You see, it's not fate and it's not purely chance, but it's God's plan. For I have plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans that will prosper you and give you a hope. And so Paul writes to the Philippians, be confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Folks, three things very quickly. From our weekend away, we had Bishop Peter with us. We were supposed to have a guy called Andy Perry. Andy fell ill. And Bishop Peter stepped in at the last moment, but I believe that it was absolutely of God that he did that. He was brilliant. He and his wife Ellen were brilliant. Three things that Bishop Peter reminded of us, but he challenged us as a church. He really challenged us. And the first comes from Mark chapter 6. You remember Jesus had been performing miracles. Then he sends his disciples out and they're performing miracles. And they come back and they tell him of all that they've done. And Jesus says to him simply this, to the disciples, simply this, come away with me to a quiet place. Come away with me. The crowds are chasing them. The pace of life for them is fever pitch. They're going to be nominated for the disciples' equivalent of an Oscar. They're like Man City having won the Premiership. They want to get on the tour bus and they want to travel through the crowds and be glorified because they've been sending out the demons in the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, we'll break open the champagne later. He says, come away with me. Come away with me. Folks, it's so rich. I can only skim the surface, but this isn't just about our quiet time. This is about us asking ourselves, how did we get to the place that we're in today? What are the experiences that you've had in your life that have happened across your life that have been monumental? Your decision making, how are you here today? You may not even know that those things were from God. But if God is trying to guide you and me to a better way of living, and I believe with all that I am that he is, that means that even if you were unaware of it at the time, God has been doing things in your life. For I know the plans I have for you, says God. The world tries to move us away from God's plans. We know that. But you wouldn't be sat in church today unless you had walked through some of the doors that God has opened for you. What more has he got for you? What more? And it's in part about our quiet time, because the verse we're looking at today says this: "For I know what plans I have for you, declares the Lord." But he doesn't want just him to know what those plans are. He wants you and I to understand what those plans are. And so we have to get ourselves into a place where we can hear him and hear what those plans are. Why? Because they're plans that are going to prosper us. They're plans that are going to help us and not harm us. They're wonderful plans from a loving God. Come away with me to a quiet place where you can think and reflect and understand, where you can sift the wheat from the chaff, where you can see the difference between the kingdoms of the world and the kingdom of heaven. Because then you join the plan and you help the jigsaw maker put it all back together. And then the second thing that the bishop spoke of was this: Simon and Garfunkel. You remember Simon and Garfunkel, those old enough? They used to be on the Top of the Pops and places like that. Simon and Garfunkel. What was their greatest song? Greatest song. Bridge Over Troubled Water. Bridge Over Troubled Water. Friends, do you know that God has never, never made a bridge over troubled water? Never. He didn't do it for Jesus Christ. Why on earth do we think that he should do it for you and for me? Become a Christian does not take us outside the luck of the draw that everyone else has to live in. I've said it before, I'll say it again: if cancer is hereditary, I will get cancer. That is not something that I will shout at God against, because I know he's a loving God. Rather, God makes a pathway through the troubled water. Rather, he strengthens us for the trials. He gives us a hope in our heart that cannot be defeated ever. He gives us light at the end of the tunnel. Ultimately, God's plan is a new heaven and a new earth, for all of creation to be repaired from top to toe. And in the midst of it, in this place that we call history, in this place that we call 2018, the bit that he's repairing is your life and my life. But he doesn't make a bridge over the troubled water. He takes us right through the center of it. Irrespective of what you're going through, and some of you, I'm sure, are going through some really hard things, troubled waters. But wherever you are, God cries out to you: stick with me, for I know the plans that I have for you, and they're plans to make you prosper, and they're not plans that will harm you. We long for a bridge over the troubled waters, don't we? But it's just not God's way. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it stops us having testimonies to tell others of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're called to be witnesses, you remember. Acts 1 and verse 8. Maybe it prevents us from being able to walk alongside others outside of the church when they're in troubled waters, because we've never been through it, we don't know what they're going through, and maybe that would stop us, and so we go through it too. I don't know. Maybe it's because trials strengthen our faith. They certainly do that. They certainly do that. Friends, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is this: Jesus said, "Not my will be done, but thine." For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and plans to give you a future. Lastly, and I must finish, lastly, the bishop told a simple story. He told a story of a brilliant sculptor who was at work on a large piece of jagged rock, carving out a lion. And a little boy came and watched him work every day. Slowly but surely, the sculptor was chipping away at the rock, and the boy sat in amazement as the lion began to emerge from the boulder, until finally the lion stood there in all his glory. And the boy turned to the sculptor and he asked him, "How on earth do you know what to cut off and what to leave?" And the sculptor said simply, "That's really easy," he said. "I just take away anything that is not lion." Friends, you and I are made in the image of God. And the world would put on us all sorts of junk, but God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, is chipping away at anything that is not a reflection of the Lord Almighty in your life and in my life. The love, this is one last quote, the bishop said this. The love of God draws us on journeys that we do not want to make, along roads that we do not want to take, ending in places that we do not want to leave. God is so good and he loves us so much. May his transformative power be at work in your life and at mine, this day and every day. Amen.